I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our visitors. It's always good to have visitors with us. I hope that the things that are said and done tonight will be in accordance with God's will and be beneficial to all who hear. The lesson tonight that I mentioned, or this morning, is entitled Jesus Freaks and Righteous or Religious Fanatics. Back in the 1960s, and some of you might remember this a little bit. Some of you might not remember what I did, but you might remember the time I took a little senior trip to a place called Vietnam. And the world was level when I left. When I came back, it seemed to me like the world was kind of a tilt or something. And one of the first things that I ran into, we landed in San Francisco, and we went to Oakland to be transferred to our next base. And one of the first things I ran into was, I hope this will work, was some Jesus freaks, what I would call Jesus freaks. Now, I don't know if you remember that period of time or not. Some of you might. But they were handing out Bibles at that time, good news for modern man. They were into peace and love, which I believe is a good thing to be into. I believe that as much peace as we can have in this world and as much love as we can show towards each other, the better off we are. But they were handing out the Bible, or the translation, Good News for Modern Man, which has more Calvinism in it than most of the disciplines that the denominations hand out to their members to study. But they were called and they were labeled Jesus freaks because of their attitude and because of what they were doing. Now, later on, we just knew them as hippies. And then we see some of them go overboard, that we got to groups such as, and they took the religion and they, or supposed religion, and started binding it upon themselves, until we had groups such as Charles Manson and his followers, because he started out supposedly teaching them, and then all of a sudden he decided that he was Jesus Christ and had the right to kill whoever he so desired and to start a war here in America, a race war. Now, these people, I don't know if this is the same people or not, but, you know, you're still around today. You've still got this type of person around today, and that's whether that's the same couple or not, I don't know. But I do know that we can drive right up the road and meet these people, because they're still up around the San Francisco area, especially in the Haight-Ashbury area. I think they're still up in that area. But these were what we called Jesus freaks back at that time. But then we had another, and that was fanatics. And I know you can find these up north. I'm not picking on the Bay Area, so to speak. It just seemed like all the weirdos were up in that part. This is Raider clan. If you don't watch football, well, you don't know who the Raiders are, but, well, you probably do too, because you probably heard about all the fights and everything else that goes on there. But they're fanatics. Football fanatics. I was going to show Minnesota's fanatics. They paint their bodies purple and stand out in cold weather. And at Green Bay, they paint their bodies yellow and green and stand out in snow. And all they have on is the paint. Now, this is a fanatical type person. But then we think about religious fanatics, and we think about immediately, it goes to someone like Caliph Sheikh Mohammed, who was, they say, responsible for 9/11 back in 2002. This is the idea that most people have when they start talking about religious fanatics. Those who go overboard in everything. But I would suggest to you tonight, and we're going to mention just a few religious fanatics tonight, And this is one that's on the board, just a rendition of one that's on the board, by a man that's of a man who's supposedly a man by the name of Stephen. And I would suggest to you, with the definition of fanatic, the correct definition of fanatic, Stephen was a religious fanatic. The dictionary defines fanatic as a person with an extreme and uncritical enthusiasm or zeal, as in religion or politics. Now, I will show you the extreme religion or extreme zeal that Stephen had. In your Bibles, in Acts chapter 6, I'm not going to be turning over to it, but Acts chapter 6, beginning in about verse 8 and going to chapter 7 and verse 60, we have the account of Stephen. They were told at Jerusalem to look out among themselves and find seven men filled with the Holy Spirit, and one of those men was Stephen. About that time, persecution arose by the church. Stephen went out, and they gathered him up, and they surrounded him and everything, and they wanted to kill him. And so instead of backing off and hiding and not offending anybody, Stephen preached to them Christ, beginning at the very beginning, back with Moses, and brought them all the way up. Knowing that what was going to happen to him, that he was going to lose his life, yet he was willing to do it anyway. And they stoned him to death. They killed him because of his religious belief, because of his zeal for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another that had a lot of religious zeal, we might say, is our Lord himself. He knew that he was going to die up on the cross of Calvary. He came to earth for you and I, knowing once he was born, that he was born for a reason, and that was to die upon the cross. Now, we see his zeal first beginning in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, where his folks had lost him when they had left Jerusalem, and they went back to the temple. And there he was with the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers teaching them and talking to them. And his parents kind of got after him a little bit about it because they had been worried about him. And in Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, he says, "But I must be about my Father's business." Even at that young age, he saw the importance of doing what God wanted him to do. And we see all the way up through, not to, but through the crucifixion, the zeal that he had on being obedient to our God. He humbled himself even to the death on the cross to be obedient to God, and to offer us the hope of eternal salvation. Now, I would say that that's a fanatic. Not in a detrimental term, but in almost a term of praise and glory. Peter and John, and I'm going to leave this up the rest of the lesson because I think it's something that we all need to keep in front of our eyes all the time, the sacrifice of our Lord. There was two men named Peter and John, though, in Acts chapter 5. Particularly in verse 29, they had been brought in before the scribes and the Pharisees and the high priest in chapter 4, and they had told them not to preach anymore, and the next day they went in, and there they was on Solomon's porch preaching. And they said, "Look, we told you not to preach in his name anymore." And their response was, "We ought to obey God rather than man." We ought to obey God rather than man. So what this is putting them in a position of conflict with the leaders of their land. And it's also putting them in a position that they might be physically abused. Yet their zeal for the gospel, their faithfulness to God, kept them from varying any at all from where God wanted them to be. They were fanatics. Fanatics for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just the apostles that were there. You know, we think about the apostles. Well, hold it. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were promised by Jesus and talked to Jesus and were filled by the Spirit. And they did all these things that the normal person can't do. And that's true. But then in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we find that Christians there continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles to confirm what they were teaching was right. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. What would people's reaction be to people like that today? Look at those idiots over there. Look at those fanatics, those religious fanatics. But are we to be any less than those first century Christians? Or to do any less than the first century Christians? I think not. I think God left his word for us to study and to see how they reacted and how we also should react. The days have changed. Our mode of transportation have changed. Our modes of entertainment have changed, but our God hasn't changed a bit. He still expects the same from us today that he expected from them then. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, after the stoning of Stephen that we looked at just a moment ago, the text tells us, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which is at Jerusalem. So it's time to run and hide. It's time to say, well, I don't want to watch that team anymore. I'm going to go join another team. No, that's not what they did. It says that they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And we know that they went everywhere preaching and teaching the word of God. I think back to, and I'll fall back to the 60s just a moment. I had a good friend when we went to Vietnam, and we talked about all the time. You know, you talk about a lot of different things before you get ready to go, and how brave you're going to be and how big of a coward you're going to be. You don't really know what you're going to be until you get there. And you don't know what's going to happen until you have to react to a certain situation. But I had this one friend, he said, thing is, understand this, if I get captured, don't shoot at the first wave on the camp because I'll be in it. And what he was saying is that if he got captured, he was going to go over to their side because they were the ones that threatened his life, not us. And he was going to go over to them. Well, what if those in the first century had that attitude? What if they had been willing to change sides when the persecution started? Would we have had that hope today? Oh, yeah, we'd have had that hope because God would have made sure it was here. He sent his son to die for us. He's not going to waste that precious gift. But he didn't have to. Because they went everywhere teaching the word. And they stood up for their faith. This man that was named Saul was causing the havoc there in Jerusalem and in Judea. We find that after his conversion, in which we read about in chapter 8 of Acts, that he went about preaching the gospel. Now, I'd like to read to you from 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, beginning in verse 21 and reading through 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. Rather long reading. If you have your text, you might turn with me there. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labor is more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In death oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, and in cold and nakedness. Sound like a fanatic to me that would put up with that. Not just everybody will do that. I have all the respect in the world. Understand, I have all the respect for the world for the man by the name of John McCain. I believe that as his service in Vietnam as a prisoner of war was above and beyond the call of duty. But we note that during the final stages of his stay there, he broke down a little bit. You know, I don't know if I'd have lasted near as long as he did. I don't know if I'd lasted more than a day when they started beating on me. But the Apostle Paul lasted all of his life serving God because he was a fanatic. He believed in one thing, and that was service to God. He cared nothing for self. He cared about service to God because he knew at the end of that service that he would receive such reward that there was nothing upon this earth to compare. Paul had what they would call in football, as we saw earlier, he had what they would call heart. He didn't think he had the talent that other people had. You know, he had a problem with the speech, I guess. I've heard preachers say that he used to lisp. I don't know. I didn't hear him. We do know that he had a thorn in the flesh that he couldn't get along with. You know, he could get along with it, but he asked it to be removed, and it was never removed because it was, for him, his strength. And he was stronger because of it. But he had heart. He played through the pain, so they'd say. What about us? What about us? Now, I can stand here and preach all night and talk about all the different things in the Bible. And we can all go home and say, boy, them guys sure had it rough. But they were strong. What about us? What about us? You know, in Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 34, Jesus said it's out of the abundance of the heart that we speak. I'm not going to ask for hands, but think about this. When you're going to work tomorrow, what will be the first thing that you talk about? Football or politics? Oh, boy, did you see that game yesterday? San Francisco sure got beat bad. What about, you know, your soul is lost. And I love you so much that I'm going to put myself on the line to talk to you about it. Wouldn't that be a better conversation? That my heart is so filled with Jesus Christ and my love for Christ and my love for you that I'm going to put myself out on a limb. And I'm going to take a chance of losing your friendship because I love you. And if I become your enemy because I tell you the truth, so be it. Wouldn't that be a far better conversation than worrying about whether the health care bill passed or not? You know, as Ken was talking this morning, we can be content in whatever state we find ourselves in. It makes no difference what goes on in Washington, D.C. It makes no difference what goes on in San Francisco and Sacramento. That doesn't amount to a hill of beans. This too shall pass. But I guarantee our service to Jesus Christ and God will not pass. If we are faithful to Him, we will serve Him throughout eternity. If we are faithful to Him. What was it Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Whose responsibility is it to go and teach others? We sing a song sometimes. No hands but my hands. God has no hands but my hands. No feet but my feet. Yet, when we get around people and we have an opportunity to preach or talk to them about Jesus Christ, our hands go in our pocket. And our feet usually make a U-turn on our legs and we walk the other way. Brethren, I would suggest to you that you and I have an obligation to our God. He offered us something, and He's asked so little in return. He offered us His Son, who came to this earth and lived and died upon the cross of Calvary, that you and I might have the hope of eternal life. And all He's asked for us is to live for Him. Ken was talking this morning that we live to die. But we also one day will die to live. And it's our choice about where we live. And it's our choice how we sit there, how we go, whether we are fanatics for the world or whether we're religious fanatics and Jesus freaks. I pray that I might be in that group. I pray that I might have strength enough when I go out that door tonight, tomorrow, speak to those who are lost in a dying world. And I'm going to say this, it's not just those who are unchurched, whatever that might mean. It's anybody that is not a child of God is lost and will spend eternity in the devil's hell. We think about that. Think about that. Our children, our family, our friends, our loved people we work with, people we don't even know that we'll come in contact with. But then we can tell whether we are religious fanatics or Jesus freaks because we will speak to them out of the abundance of our heart. And if our heart is filled with Jesus Christ and His love, you know what we'll speak to them about. Their soul salvation. But it's a choice each of us have to make. And we can be placed out before people what needs to be done. It can be pointed out. I've got a, and I'm going to break this down into something else. My grandson is a golfer. He could be an outstanding golfer. In fact, he could be a really good golfer if he wanted to be. But he had no desire, no heart, no heart at all. He's gotten a couple of tournaments. He hit two or three bad shots, and he bends over, and he throws up in the middle of the fairway, and he's ready to go home because he had no heart, not for golf. What about us? When we confront people, and they get a little upset, do we back off and not confront anybody else? And when I say confront, I don't mean go up there with a hammer and tell them you're going to listen to me no matter what. Say confront them in their error. Show them or let them see your life and then talk to them about what Jesus wants. Do we do that or do we back off? I hate to say this, I back off a lot of times. Whether it be fear of retribution from them or the loss of family or friends, sometimes I back off and I'm ashamed of that fact because I want to serve my God the way He wants me to serve Him. I want to do what's right in the eyes of God. And I pray that everyone here wants to do that also. But I guarantee, and I can guarantee you this, just as if I took out a big insurance policy to assure it. If we speak to people out of the abundance of our heart, and if our heart is filled with Jesus Christ, you will see a revolution not only in this country but around the world that will amaze people and just blow their minds. Those hippies back in the 60s had their minds blown by chemicals. Ours can be blown by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ as we see it spread from shore to shore and around the world. If we as His messengers will carry it and just do what He asks us to do, live for Him. If you haven't been living for our Lord and you feel that you need the prayers of the congregation in any way, we can help you in any way. We would ask you this time to come and stand with us.
There's a fountain free just for you and me.